Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny podcast. Glad to have you back with us. It is I, your not so humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam. Aaron, how are we doing this week?
I'm cold, John.
Yeah, for those of you listening out of state, our Florida fans or our Alabama fans, wherever you are, in Wisconsin, it has been kind of cold today. It's supposed to get colder into Wednesday and then back up slightly above freezing by the weekend up here in central Wisconsin, at least. I think it's going
to
be colder
by
you.
I used to live up by Canada, and it's warmer up there now than it is down here. I thought that I was in for better weather down here. I was sold a false bill of goods.
I think it's your fault, probably, is probably the only way we can go with that. But
I can lie.
So the yeah, we had a lot of snow today. My kids were all home from school, but I was at work, so just doing what we got to do here. We're going to get a couple things started here. We got a little bit of Packers news, a little bit of Brewers news, and then we'll get into some good basketball stuff here before we end up the day here. But as always, make sure that you are following us. The show here you can follow at ScottyJohnny1 at Twitter. You can also find me at JBarn54. And Aaron, where did they find you?
You can skate in circles at Titleton. Oh, hi. It's at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk, CHEDDARTALK at Cheddar Talk.
Attaway. Yes, and you can in fact skate at Titletown. They have a special path where they freeze it so that you can skate around the Titletown area.
That's intense.
Yeah, it's such a great place. The idea they got a sled hill.
I knew they had a tubing hill, but that's crazy.
Aaron, absolutely ready for us today here. We go in large.
It's the sports abyss for the Packers. I'm doing my last minute preparation on the Packer app right now.
That's good. We're going to leave that in, of course. So,
of course, why not?
All right, and we'll get started here right away, going into the main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, this week, Packers gave us just a little bit of news, not a ton. There was a hiring for tight ends coach. This is after last week we told you that Brian Angelicchio, which I think I mispronounced last week. I think I missed a second I in there. Last week we said he was staying. Turns out he was not staying. Just he was the last one let go. I don't know what he did in the meantime to make Matt LaFleur angry with him, but he's gone now. And in his place, they have hired Justin Outen, or Outen, if I want to pronounce it more phonetically, really get the T in there.
Or if you're Canadian, Outen.
Yeah, I'm Midwestern, so it's Outen. It's just kind of an emphasis on some place where there used to be two T's. But he's the new tight ends coach. His history, this is, again, the Packers going to very young guys. Guys who are kind of getting their first cuts at this sort of work, except for Pettine and some of the defensive guys. Outen last year was the offensive assistant with Atlanta. He'd been there for 2 years. Prior to that, he was an intern with the Atlanta Falcons in 2016. His job before being an intern in Atlanta, Aaron, you want to take a guess?
In charge of concession stands.
Very close. No. No, he was previously the assistant head coach at Spring Westfield High School, where he apparently did help 24 different offensive linemen get scholarships. But
that's a jump.
That's something. Yeah, he went from that to being an intern with the Falcons. And I guess
Spend a day in the minors, just right. See?
These are some steps I've missed along the way, apparently, in my long career, is that I did not get an internship with the Falcons or anyone else. My internship was with the district attorney's office, so... Yeah, I guess it is what it is. Stenovich, Adam Stenovich was the guy who was hired as the offensive line coach. We mentioned him last week. He's actually signed now, so he's on board and everything. We did mention him last week. He was, as we said, the assistant offensive line coach with the San Francisco 49ers. And you're noticing these are places where LaFleur made stops on the way up. It's, you know, San Francisco, Atlanta, and those sorts of places. He's pulling people he knows from places like that.
And Stanovich is one of us too. I like that. So that's good.
He is one of us. He was with the Packers practice squad in the 06-07 season.
Yes, so, we talked about that.
That's great. Other news regarding some interviews here. Apparently Mike Smith, not that Mike Smith, but Mike Smith formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, outside linebackers coach, and former assistant D Lions coach, is going to be the new outside linebacker coach for the Green Bay Packers. And in a fun story here, word is reaching out to us that Wes Welker has interviewed with the Packers and the 49ers, presumably as a wide receivers coach.
Really? Wow, that's an amazing. I know last week we were just talking about, I alluded to the fact that maybe we should have Randall Cobb be the wide receivers coach, but Wes Welker, sure, why not?
Yeah, that would be a good hire, that'd I think, at this point, so it should be interesting at least.
Kevin Green was a great outside linebackers coach for years here, so why not get some real experience? I mean, can Wes still play?
I don't think so. He had too many concussions.
Oh, that's right.
They're still on the lookout for a special teams coordinator. Interviewed Tom Quinn, who from 2007 to 2017 was special teams coordinator for the New York Giants. Did well there, had good ratings there. He was actually let go by Ben McAdoo, former Packer quarterbacks coach. He did come back last year for a bit because the special teams coordinator, McGuffey? I'm sorry if I don't know their special teams coordinator's name very well. He was undergoing.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
I try. He was getting treatment for cancer, and so Quinn stepped back in to help out the team during that period of time, and did well. They did well under him. So he's an interesting look. They haven't hired him. They've done some other interviews. They did also interview Mike Mallory. He was the assistant special teams coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars, or Jaguars, or Jags, or however you want to say that, I guess. Interesting fact, I worked as a volunteer in the Jaguars' inaugural training camp because it was held on the grounds of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and my brother and I were volunteers who helped.
That's right. They were the last members of the Cheese League. Who else was there? There was the Saints, the Bears, Saints, the Kansas City Chiefs, and, of course, the Packers. And I think the Chiefs were the last one to leave, right?
Maybe. The Chiefs were at River Falls, I think. The Saints were in La Crosse. They counted the Bears, even though they were in Platteville.
Platteville, yeah.
And sometimes when you got the shirt, they also included the Vikings being nearby. But yeah, and the Packers were in town. It was great because it's a better place to practice. You don't want to practice in Jacksonville in August. But
that sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. I don't want to live there in August, let alone practice football. One of the other names that had been tied with possibly joining the Packers and was thought to be a sure thing, but was Darren Rizzi, the Miami coordinator. And apparently the interview just didn't go well. He's the guy who left town without a contract. But so that's basically all we have. There's no major Packers things to talk about or look at. There was a Pro Bowl and a couple guys played in it, and Rodgers didn't. But he was elected, and then after Rodgers and a couple other guys backed out, Mitch Trubisky made his way into the Pro Bowl. And all I could think about is that moment is like Mitch Trubisky's in a Pro Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers is going to the Pro Bowl this year. Those two guys will say they were Pro Bowlers this year. And meanwhile, the Vikings threw a ton of money at a guy who didn't make the Pro Bowl ahead of Mitch Trubisky.
even though seven people stepped out of the game, he still couldn't make it.
It's like, I hope the Vikings are glad they just threw their money away. That was great.
Yes, it makes me feel good on the inside. No, I think the creme de la creme that really capped off how useless the Pro Bowl is at this point is when Jason Witten went to give the trophy at the end of the game, it fell apart. There was maybe 20 people in the stands for that game. It was I don't know.
Whatever. I'll talk about that later in my last call. Yeah.
One last thing, though. So you were I know we have last call, but. So you volunteered for the Jaguars, but you weren't invited to come be a tight ends coach for the Packers afterwards, because that's kind of sounded like what happened with Justin Elton here.
No, I was not invited to stay around. I do get to coach football, but I call the defense for a freshman team here. So that's also fun, though. It's a great time. It's fun to be able to go out and teach kids and teach them, go do things the right way and go out there and play a great game.
Tackle the kid with the ball. Go.
Tackling's hard, and I'll tell you one thing that ruins it is kids playing football too early. When kids play football too early, all they do is, you got a third grader playing football. They're not learning how to actually tackle. They're learning to do it wrong, and then they become terrible at it forever because they build up muscle memory from third grade through sixth grade, and then you get them in high school and they still don't know how to tackle. And you're like, this is terrible. And it's because you started them playing football, just tackle football way too early.
Right.
Let them play flag football.
Let them play flag football till they're in sixth grade, and then in junior high, maybe introduce the tackling thing.
Yeah. You can't start telling a third grader like what he should be playing, like his position. You're going to lock a kid in a position too, and it's a terrible idea.
Keep your head up. Keep your helmet up when you tackle the guy. I'm in third grade. My neck muscles aren't strong enough to keep the helmet up when I'm moving forward. No. It's everything to just not land on my face.
Yeah, obviously. So, yeah, it's just so much wrong with it. Anyhow, though, we'll move into just quick baseball news. Brewers brought Spangenberg back. He'd previously been with the team. You said Padres?
Padres, right? Makes sense. Yeah.
It's nice to have him. We need infield depth.
Everybody plays for the Padres at least once in their career. It's
a rite of passage in baseball.
Just have to. just gotta go play at Petco 1 year.
Yeah, the other big news in Brewers country is that Ryan Braun is working with a hitting coach and trying to retool his swing. And I guess the big thing is that he was one of the leaders in the league in terms of the those interesting stats of hard hit balls. And the problem is that none of the hard hit balls kept turning into regular hits. He hit hard right at people a ton. And I think the big thing they're talking about is the new buzz around baseball is the launch angle issue.
Yes.
Turning powerful hits into, you know, trajectory, essentially. And
launch angle and exit speed. You can tell that NASA's taken over baseball analytics completely now.
Well, the Astros, they won, so clearly it was NASA involved.
Right, absolutely.
Right there in Houston. So, yeah. Stearns is he's a numbers guy, and he likes the numbers, and so he's going to try to find ways to do it. And I think Braun sees the way the world is turning here. He's got to change what was going on with his swing and attack it a little differently.
It was very frustrating last year with him, too, and it has a lot to do with, like, and that's, you know, where baseball is going with the home run or nothing, because with being able to do the switch and putting people in place, Ryan Braun did line out a lot last year, like, to break two infielders, because he would crack the ball, or an outfielder playing shallow on a line shot, like, he wasn't not hitting the ball and not hitting the ball hard. Yeah, it was a very frustrating year. So, yeah, and you got to remember, like, we were just talking about the other day, I just happened to be at the 2011 game when they won the division, and Braun put one out, and it was a classic. We were talking about Prince versus Braun, Prince Fielder versus Braun, and Prince always had the big moon shots because he'd get underneath it and just tag that ball and just send it into orbit. But Braun's home runs, I know it's physically impossible, but it looked like that. He hit a home run in the eighth inning to blow that game open to win the division. And the ball he hit was to dead center. And I swear to God, it was still going up when it hit the scoreboard. Like, that dude's home runs were line drives.
Yeah.
And that's always the way he's been. He's not a big moonshot guy. He's a line drive hitter. And so, I mean, he's 35. He's not getting any younger. He's got to do something to change it up to keep himself relevant in baseball. So I guess so. You know, it's just the headline that went with the story that was amusing. Brewers Braun changing swing, focused on being a force. Well, thank God. Thank God he's focusing on being a force. I prefer that over the headline of Brewers Braun giving up, going out with a whimper. Hey, they're still paying me a lot of money. If I strike out a lot this year, I don't care. You know.
That would be fine, too. That's what so many people are resigned to at this point with Braun, I think. And the thing is, it's not being fair to talk about him as if he's not playing well. I mean, he was hitting the ball. He just kept hitting it right at people. And yeah, in an era with all the shifts and everything that people are doing and the way that they're platooning pitching in such a way like this, it has turned into home runs or nothing. Small ball is hard to play at this era of time. It's just the way that the baseball is turning. And it's just going to be hard to be something different.
You know, he's not the legitimate superstar he used to be, but he still is our superstar. And because of his tainted background, we're the only ones that are going to have him. Nobody else wants to touch him, really, I don't think. And he's still a good outfielder. He's still got speed. He's a team leader. I mean, it's Braun. There's some, you know, that carnage that happened, the fallout, throwing Aaron Rodgers under the bus and everything when all that came down. You know what? It happened to a lot of people. Did he lie? Yeah. But you know what? He's ours. And he's one of the best baseball players Milwaukee's ever had. So let's cut him some slack. You know, I hope it all works out for him. I hope he gets good again, at least for a couple more seasons. So,
well, and here's the thing that gets me is people are all mad at him for trying to defend himself against what was a screwed up test. And you and I have been involved in a lot of your analysis in the Army.
Just because of a fetish. You know, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. They run those every year for us randomly, not always in the same month, but sometimes. And it just like if they had done, if I, as the unit person who ran that for our unit for a couple of years, had done the sorts of things that were talked about in the reports there, we would have just thrown it out and retested, because you automatically throw those things out. And baseball was fighting to keep it in. The Army, we would have just thrown it out and just been done with it. By the way, the NFL had to throw one out for Richard Sherman when he failed a test, but they said there was something wrong with the cup. That got thrown out. Nobody hates Sherman for the fact that he failed for Adderall.
They just hate Sherman for everything else. And Richard Sherman should be on Adderall. I'm sorry. That should be encouraged. And let that man have other things too, recreationally. Because he's something got some anger.
He does.
He is mad.
He doesn't need uppers. He needs something to calm him down.
Right.
All right, we're going to move off of baseball now. We spent a long time on a sport that's not really going yet, but we will have pitchers and catchers soon coming up next
16 days.
I know. 16. It's going to be great.
Pitchers and catchers.
And then we can start discussing.
And then 5 months exactly of waiting for the postseason to get.
Yeah, and also discussing exactly when will Jimmy Nelson pitch again. But moving on to basketball.
Jimmy Nelson sighting.
Yeah. Moving on to basketball, we got the Badgers. Badgers had a good week. We talked about it last week, though. What the Badgers did was romp through the state of Illinois. They went down to Illinois. They played the Illini, beat them 72-60. Nate Rivers had 22 points, 10 rebounds, and an assist. Happ had a very down game. A lot of fouls here. Davison fouled out with 10 points. Happ had 4 fouls. He ended the game 9 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Not his best day, but Rivers really picked it up and carried the team for a bit there. Here's the thing that's especially upsetting in this game, though, is 3 points from the bench.
I didn't catch that part.
I think they only played 5 deep on the bench, maybe 4 deep on the bench. They only got 3 points from the bench in that game. Iverson, 12.7 rebounds. Trice had 16 on 4 of 9 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3-point. The team shot 81% from the free throw line. Happ was 3 of 4.
Well, thank God. It's about time.
Yeah, so.
They could shoot 95% for the rest of the year, and they might crack 60 for the whole season.
Here's the thing that still gets me. This team is still sloppy. They had 17 turnovers against the Illini. This is a team they should crush. This is a team that they should be in control of the whole way. They were up 32-30 at half. They have not played great in first halves of games, and part of that is just a preparation thing. It's consistently been not playing a first half as well as they should and then coming out and playing a great second half. They could have beaten Maryland if they'd bothered to play the first half, but they got 15 points and then made it a 2-point loss. They outscored the Illini 40-30 in the second half. Play a first half. It's just, I don't get it. They kept the Illini. Here's the great one. Georgi Bejanishvili.
Yes.
He had 20 points for the Illini, and Aaron Jordan had 10, and no one else reached double digits for that team. But, yeah, 17 turnovers for the Badgers compared to only 10 turnovers for the Illini. You can't keep playing like that. You can't play against better teams like that, and there are better teams down the road. They're going to have to play Michigan State soon. They're going to have to play Michigan again in Michigan. They're going to have to play Maryland coming up here next week. They got some tough games. They're going to have to play better than 17 turnovers.
There's still number 5 in the Big Ten. They're 24 and 25 in the polls, whichever one, vice versa. Yeah. And, I mean, if they continue to just at this weird malaria-type pace of hot, cold, hot, cold, they're going to make their way into the tournament, like, as a 7 seed or something like that. But, like you said, they're still playing sloppy. But, I mean, they lost to Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh, and true fact, John, you might like to hear this one. I actually didn't know what an Illini was or who they were until college. I honestly, as a high schooler and first couple of years in college, just thought that they were being lazy and just took the noise off the end of Illinois.
I-L-L-I-N-I.
I honestly thought they were just being lazy.
The logo of the circular logo with the Native American face in it, that didn't cue you in? And Chief Alinawek. Remember? They had to get rid of that.
Mind, I'm sorry. Like, I just honestly.
They had Chief.
I know now. I learned.
They had Chief Alinawek as a student mascot, basically, and they were eventually told, like, you need to knock that off. And the last game in which Chief Alinawek did his dance around the floor, Illini fans and students were crying, and they replayed that on ESPN. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I'm not racist, so that's why I didn't know. I just automatically tuned it out.
Yeah, just like Illini. That's weird.
I just assume people from Illinois are being lazy. I watch them drive. They're lazy.
Well, the next game was against the Northwestern Wildcats, because nobody else is named the Wildcats. That's not lazy. Right. In that game, no Wildcat reached double digits. They had 13 turnovers against us. So the Badgers played great. Hap had a triple-double, 13, 12, and 11, just to make it nice numerically for me. Davison and Trice both had 18 points. Badgers only had 7 turnovers. They went 6 deep on the bench. 6 deep on the bench, they still only got 8 points from them. Reavers had to come out a lot. He only played 14 minutes because he had 4 personal fouls. And right back to where they were, the Badgers go back to 55.6% from the free throw line. 5 of 9. This team has some big guys and point guards who could drive if they wanted to, but they do not drive and they do not force fouls. 9 free throws for this game. They're just a shooting team. They're a shooting team and they wait to get their shots, I guess. And it can be frustrating, but yeah, they got out rebounded by Northwestern 37-35. Northwestern was held to 16 of 54 from the field. They shot 29.6%.
That's garbage. Yeah. Wow, that's hot garbage.
They got to beat up this team. These are bottom dwellers in the Big Ten. And they won this game easily. They don't score. It was 34-24 at half. They walked away with this game. Vic Law, who has been averaging over 16 points a game for the Wildcats, he was held to 2 of 11 from the field and just 6 points. They played great defense. They're just so inconsistent, especially from the free throw line. I just don't understand just how they've... This has been like 4 years in a row now. They have not been free throw shooters, and it's driving me crazy.
So it's just like we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks about the discipline thing with Wisconsin, too, is that, so again, you just pointed out that from one game to the next, the things that they used to do, all the things very well, the low turnovers, good defense, good free throw shooting, they did it in one game, parts of it in one game, and the parts of it in another, and then they stunk it up on the other parts, and they still won because they're playing bottom feeders, but you're right. Absolutely. They can't seem to get all, the Wisconsin trademark basketball, good defense, make your shots, don't turn the ball over.
Yeah. And again, I'm not calling for guard to be fired or anything like that, but man, I'm not. I just want to see this team play better on those things. They got to stop turning the ball over. They're trying to be like impressive and fun with their passing. Just make good passes and finish at the rim and just do the little things you've got to do. They're trying to do too many big things like they're somebody, and they got to start playing like they have a plan and that they put in the work in the off season. Just so many little things like free throws and turnovers. Those are things you just have to have down. If you want to win games in the tournament, they can't do this against the teams they're going to see in the tournament.
Well, it's a side effect. It's another thing that falls out, or another part of the fallout from the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, when they get passing, it's fun to watch. It's like a circus. But guess what? They have 5 All-Stars.
Yeah.
And then a couple coming off the bench. Any one of these, if you were to take any one of the players on Golden State and insert them onto any college team, they would be national championship contenders because they're so good. That's how much better they are than you.
And they're not 18.
Not everybody can do what Golden State does. As a matter of fact, no one can do what Golden State does. So, and you see it all over the place, and you see it with lesser NBA teams. Like, they try getting fancy with the passing.
Yeah.
Just get an open shot. you don't have to get fancy with the passing. Golden State's just doing it to show off at this point. So.
Yeah, because they're that good. So the Badgers have coming up, as you said, they're 5th in the Big Ten. They're 6-3 in the conference, 14-6 overall. They will be playing Nebraska ball in Lincoln on the 29th. And then they will have Maryland at home on February 1st. Fun fact, Nebraska, they'll be playing in Lincoln. Wisconsin plays in Madison. There is one other FBS program that plays home games in a city named after a United States president. Do you know who it is?
It would be...
This is good radio.
FBS basketball or...
No, no, football, because it's bowl.
Football. Well, both, I suppose.
Yeah. It's ULM, the University of Louisiana Monroe.
Monroe plays in Monroe.
Yeah, there are only three, and those are the three. Moving on, other
There wasn't a president, ooh la la.
There was not. No, unfortunately. Damn. Lafayette was not a president. Couldn't be. Wasn't born here.
but he did a lot more. Anyways.
Yeah,
a
lot of us.
We'll leave the hot Lafayette talk for me.
Aaron Flottam with Hot Lafayette Takes, coming up on his own podcast, Hot Takes on Weird Historical Figures and whether or not they should have been president.
historical figures and their influence on early American history.
And basketball.
And basketball.
Right. So another basketball news, though, with the guys, the professionals. Yeah, the Raging Cajuns. The other basketball news, we got the Bucks. Bucks had a split this week. Sadly, they beat up on Frank Kaminsky's Hornets. Beat them 108-99 at home, and then they had a tough one carrying a couple different winning streaks going into OKC. Bucks lost that one 118-112. They were down at half, 42-56, and then outscored the Thunder in the third 37-33 and in the fourth 33-29, and all it did was get them close. Just too much. Giannis 27-18-4.
And 24 of those points came in the second half. They shut him down in the first half.
Yeah, they moved very quickly. They got up. I think the Bucks scored like the first. It was the first 8 or 10 points in this game, and then it very quickly became a tie game. Shortly thereafter, Paul George just took over a couple different points in that game and really helped them just put up the points. The ball's moving around a lot.
He is really good, by the way. I didn't realize how good Paul George was. So he is fantastic.
Russell Westbrook is actually shooting a lot less this year, and he's let Paul George be the scorer. While he's still going out and doing great things, he's still letting George kind of have a role there in that scoring portion of it. And it's working for them. And these two teams, they were both great defensive teams. I think they said they were like, the Bucks are first in the defensive rankings, and I think they said OKC was like third or fifth.
Yeah, the Bucks are, as far as you put it all together, they're still number one for rebounds. Points allowed, they're eighth. But, you know, it's the Bucks too. They play really good defense. And OKC, this podcaster will not back away from. I've been a big fan of OKC for a number of years, pretty much ever since they left Seattle, because I like the small town. OKC isn't exactly this, but a small town feel, kind of the Packers of the NBA, and I've watched them closely, and they're both really good defensive teams. They're both led by a very unselfish person. Like Russell Westbrook is a head case, and that dude is awesome. But he's very unselfish, too, on top of it. He would rather not shoot. The big difference between him and Giannis is that Giannis doesn't have a number two like he does.
No, you know, not at all.
Paul George could carry – he did carry the Pacers for a while, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, that'll go into the tale when I talk about Anthony Davis later. So we talked about before the show even started, too – OKC did something that was, I think it might have laid a blueprint for maybe stopping Giannis, and that is basically everyone talks about Giannis. He's like a video game. You just run down the court and you dunk with him. You dunk with him. It's NBA Jam. You know, you just run down the court and you dunk with him. Well, they posted help me out, John. Nerlens Noel. Dictation classes underneath the hoop. And basically that was the entire first half. Was him just not letting Giannis have a clean run to the hoop, which, I mean, it's brilliant, but you also need someone that guy's size to do it on top of it. And so OKC is a really good team. It was a good test for the Bucks. They came up a little bit short, but it was in OKC as well. And after a really slow start, the Bucks made a good charge at the end. Came up short, but you know, it is what it is. It's the season's up and downs. You can't look at every single game under a microscope. But so they lost a game. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. And the Bucks are still technically, by a couple percentage points, the best record in the NBA at this moment. They have a
at this moment. Depends about how long the streak that Golden State has going on lasts.
Yeah, well, it's basically the number of games things you've pointed out before. Bucks are 35-13. Golden State is 36-14. Toronto's 37-15. So they're in a plus minus window. They're all even. Nobody has a half game on anybody. But the Bucks are at a 0.729 winning percentage, and the Golden State is at 0.720, and Toronto's at a 0.712. So the Bucks, by slight percentage points, are 9 thousandths of a point ahead, I guess, or I guess 9 tenths of a percentage point ahead of Golden State.
And the way the season's shaping out, too, so the Pacers were looking to be like they were going to give Toronto and Milwaukee a little bit of a headache up at the top, and of course Boston's still hanging out down there, and Brooklyn's got the second best record since the beginning of December in the East, so they're starting to heat up a little bit too. The Pacers, though, they just lost Oladipo for the rest of the season, so that's kind of a big loss. That's probably gonna I don't know if it was for the season, but he's out for a while at least. He got hurt, so that's, you know, why have facts, just guess things that you thought you saw on TV. I know that he's out for a while at least. But I just love that everybody's kind of resigned to the fact that whoever wins the East, that's going to be your championship, because you're just going to lose to Golden State in the finals anyways. So
yeah, that's all right. So the Bucks get to play the Pistons, which they should win. They're favored by 6.5 coming up on the 29th. Then they'll get to play the Raptors to kind of, again, get a chance to take hold of the East if they want to. And on February 2nd, the Sam Decker's Washington Wizards.
And he's going to be salty.
They'll play him again on the 6th, too. So they got a couple games against Sam Decker and his Washington Wizards. Anyhow, so that's our Bucks talk for this week. We've gotten through all the major stuff. So now we're going to walk you through the tale of the show.
Rapid fire time now with the tale, covering Wisconsin's other sporting events.
All right, so coming in, we do have hockey news. The men's hockey team, the Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team, they had a split with Minnesota in Minnesota. I mean, that's big. I mean, first off, what's also big is the loss that they had on Friday night in Minnesota, where they went down 9-4 over in the barn at Mariucci. But then they had a 4-3 win over the Golden Gophers. And getting a split with the Gophers in Minnesota, men's and women's teams over the last 2 weeks each had a split in Minnesota. That's pretty great. And this men's team, this is not a team that should beat Minnesota right now. Minnesota right now is like the fourth best team in Minnesota, I think. But
I was just going to look that up, because I was just going to say it's always a big thing whenever you split with Minnesota. But where is Minnesota in the ranking of Minnesotans?
I don't know.
So St. Cloud 1, Minnesota Duluth 3, Mankato 6.
Yeah, Minnesota State Mankato. Yeah, so they're the fourth best team in the state of Minnesota right now. And yeah, it's still good to get them. In that Saturday night game, I was actually working a concession stand, and they were playing. They have a TV stand right near there, and they had the game on. And I'll tell you, this team plays fast. This Badger team, they were all over them. They're up and down the ice. They were really pushing an aggressive forecheck in a game that was a tight game, and they were really forcing the issue there. And that was great to see. A lot of energy on this team. Badgers were up 2-1. Minnesota scored the next two to make it a 3-2 game. Then, with seriously, 11 seconds left in the second period, Mick Messner puts in a goal, getting him a tie going into the third period, 3-3. And then Peter Tischke, 4:02 into the third period, on an assist from Will Johnson and Roman Aachen, gets the go-ahead goal, and that is the game-winning goal. 4-3, Badgers win, get the split in the Big Ten. women's hockey WCHA matchup, St. Cloud State comes or plays at Laban Arena, comes into Wisconsin, loses 5-0 and 3-1. Wisconsin hockey, women's hockey continues to be number one. Let's see. Mackenzie Steffen had 2 goals in the first game. The other goals were Sophia Shaver, Sophie Shirley, and Alexis Mauerman. Shots on goal in this game was 43-14 in favor of the Badgers. 5-0 win. In the 3-1 win, Britta Curl, Abby Roke, Emily Clark all scored. Sophie Shirley had 2 assists. Badgers outshot the St. Cloud State 53-13. So that's a heck of a game. They're going to be playing the Bemidji State Beavers coming up next week.
I can hear Jacques Lemaire in the back of my head right now. It's too many goals. You scored too many goals.
There's no doubt that that's too many shots on goal. All right.
After you lose a game like that, you have to cut a player.
Gotta go cut.
And by cut a player, I mean stick him with a knife.
Doing some K-Fan morning show here going on.
Yay! Sorry.
Number one UWSP men's hockey team didn't play this week. UW-Eau Claire, number 4 right now, had a 4-2 win over your UW-Superior Yellow Jackets.
Not surprised, John.
All shocked. St. Norbert, now number 6, I believe, at this point, and first in the NCHA. It's their conference. They won 7-0 over previous number 7 Adrian Bulldogs. They play in Adrian, Michigan. And then
they're going to say Adrian Peterson.
No. It's like, and then a 3-2 win over the Trine Thunder. And that is a team in Angola, Indiana. Not Angola, the country, but Angola, Indiana still. And then briefly talking about this just to get you some basketball news from around the state of Wisconsin. UW Oshkosh men's basketball team is now 8-0 in the WIAC. They are 18-1 overall. And in a shock to my system, I now find that the UW Lacrosse Eagles are 7-1 in men's basketball in conference and 14-5 overall. And this makes no sense to me, and my world is turned upside down. As this,
when
this
was
team
UW
was,
Lacrosse ever good at basketball?
They were never good in basketball when I was there.
Never.
I had the feeling I could walk onto that team when I was there because they were not good at basketball when I was there.
We were in college at the same time, and UW Superior didn't have that bad of a team. As a matter of fact, they had a couple of guys that ended up playing over in Europe after they were done. And God, I just remember it was because UW Lacrosse was the big football school. That was the athlete school. Yet they'd come up to UW Superior, and they would just get shellacked by UW Superior.
And it was a big cross-country school. It was the best cross-country and track school in D3 probably in the country. When I was there, we won 4 straight track and field titles.
Kids can run. Their recruiting was amazing, too, for cross-country.
UWSP is 5-3, 13-5 overall. That's the top of your WIAC. In women's basketball, again, UW Oshkosh, 7-1, 17-2 overall. UW Oshkosh, affectionately known as UW-0.
I've never heard that before. That's brilliant.
Man, it is. The Titans.
That is great.
The Titans of UW-0. The Eagles.
That's what I get for being up in the northwest corner of the state to go to college. I didn't get all the cool stuff.
You didn't hear about them. Yeah, UW Lacrosse 5-3. Also, UW-Whitewater 5-3. At this point in WIAC play, the Eagles 16-3 in women's basketball. The other interesting point of news here is that UWSP, they're only 3-5 in the conference and 7-12 overall. But Coach Shirley Egner got her 300th career conference win. She is now 546 and 253 all time as a coach at UWSP. Congratulations to her and congratulations to the team. Still hanging out towards the bottom of the WIAC at this point, but great accomplishment to have there, and so that's wonderful to see.
I saw an article about her with her and it's Pat Summitt. So there was a great article comparing the two of their in completely different worlds and how they were comparing them back and forth. I did actually see something about that, but to another point, John. So hey, as we move into the sports abyss going forward here, when you were talking about some of these hockey schools that we, you know, we have to explain where they're from and we're not just making things up. So sometime around spring training for baseball after the Super Bowl and basketball and hockey are the only things to talk about. Can we do an entire segment on just random colleges throughout the country?
That sounds amazing. Everybody tweet us in any random colleges you want us to check in on. Maybe talk about if you have anything interesting. if you got a fun D3, D2, I don't know that there's much D2 in Wisconsin. You got a fun D3 sports team you want us to talk about, send us your tweet. Send us your email, of course, scannyjohnny@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to talk about. We'll
figure
something out.
I would love to talk about Clarkson. As far as I know, the Monkeys we're going to take the last train there. That's all I know about Clarkson right now.
Yeah, and that's not a Wisconsin school. But, yeah, we haven't talked about them in a little while. They were a very high-scoring team in women's college hockey, but they're not. I don't know how they're doing so well with this. But we're wrapped up now. We're done with the tale. So the next thing we're going to get to, everybody, we are going to roll through our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings, because it's time for the last call.
Aaron, how about you start us off with your last call? I'll go for a little bit here.
All right, I got a couple quick things here. So first of all, and does anybody else find the Peloton commercials overly pretentious? Because I do. So on Twitter right now, Clue Haywood, like Clue Haywood from Major League, but first name is C-L-U-E, like Clue. He has a string of tweets that came out last night that are absolutely hilarious, just trashing Peloton, and it's fantastic. John, you gave me control of the Scotty Johnny Twitter this last week, and I was active on there, and I didn't make anybody mad, and I didn't put down anything obscene. I used that on my own Twitter account. You posted something, post like Facebook. You tweeted something about there was an NFL on Fox, best running back to score a touchdown. Who would you want, if you had one choice of any running back ever to punch one into the end zone, who would you want it to be? You said Jim Brown or Taylor for the Packers. Respectable. And my response was Christian Okoye, Marion Butts, or BJ Raji. I think that we should put that up for a vote. There was 1A, 1B, and 1C. Anthony Davis, as much as I would love to have him come play for the Bucks, because we were talking earlier about that, just how it's kind of Giannis versus Middleton and Bledsoe are okay. You know, they're playing well. Middleton's having a great year. I would like to see it if it could happen, but it's not going to happen because the Pelicans have already asked the NBA to clamp down on the tampering rules because Clutch, what's his name, the agent that represents LeBron James, is already working it on the side. It's interesting to watch because basically the rules of the NBA are going to be put into full test right here because the darling of the league, the LA Lakers, want Anthony Davis. How far are they going to let the rules be pushed out of the way so LeBron can play with Anthony Davis? Because they want him to be there. It's better ratings for the NBA. They want somebody who can actually try and knock off the Golden State Warriors. Chant sheets, John. When you go, as a fan, when you go to a game, do they hand out sheets to the student section telling you what to do at various times during a game?
I've never had that, and I had student tickets when I was at law school for hockey and football.
I saw that the other day. They hand out chant sheets and what to do, like when there's a free throw going on. I think that Prince Fielder should have his number retired by the Brewers. It was a short stint. He played 5 years with Texas and Detroit, but we need to retire his number. And the Patriots will win the Super Bowl. Prove me wrong. That's it.
All right. My big thing this week is I want to talk about the Pro Bowl, and everybody hates it, but everybody watches it. And here's the thing I want to say is I don't hate it. It's not a great football game. You know it's not a great football game when you show up to watch it. By the way, it was never going to be because these guys are getting paid by somebody else to not get hurt in that game. What you're watching is grown men who are incredible athletes going out and just having a fun time. And you know what? That's amazing. That's incredibly entertaining to watch for me because I'm not showing up with the expectation that I'm getting a great football game. What I'm showing up to see is, like, I'm going to watch some people who are great athletes go out and play a game they love and do it because it's fun. And you know what? I got to watch Ezekiel Elliott play defensive end with Saquon Barkley as the other defensive end. And at one point, Barkley and Kamara almost met at the quarterback because they were both playing defensive end. Mike Evans had a pick because they let him play cornerback against Jarvis Landry. It's amazing and hilarious. It's a fun game. It's just fun. If you don't like watching things that are fun, I don't understand what you're doing. These are grown men playing a two-hand touch game of football, because it is two-hand touch. But if that's what you expect it to be, then it's fine. The problem isn't the game. The problem is everybody's expectations of that game, that they're expecting to watch the Super Bowl, and that's not what they're getting. Just change your perspective on your game and on your life and say, I'm going to watch this game because I enjoy football and because it's fun to watch grown men have a great time doing things that is still way better than watching me play football. So it's just fun to watch. On that same note, the best format for the Pro Bowl, All-Star Game, anything in any sport is the NHL one, which was this last weekend here, and it was amazingly fun. What they do is the NHL is actually four divisions in two conferences. All right. So they're very large, and it's kind of confusing how the playoffs work now, because top three from each division plus two wild cards from each conference get in. But it makes for a great All-Star game, because what they do is they have a tournament. They have All-Stars from each division, and they will play them against each other in tournaments of each division going through. And so there's something to play for, and they play 3-on-3 hockey. And 3-on-3 hockey is amazingly fun to watch because it's so wide open and so much scoring. And it's a different game. They said that the All-Star game is not like a regular hockey game. Let's make it something fun and entertaining where the players are going to go out there and have a great time and be entertaining. It's not a hockey game. It's fun. It's just something fun to do. And you watch it because it's interesting and because it's a tournament and you can root for your division to win. And you have something to do there, and the guys go out and have a great time. It's the best all-star game of any sort in pro sports this time, and everyone should watch it because it's great. And hockey is great and just an amazing thing. Hockey is soccer if people were trying to score. That's basically what hockey is. And soccer is hockey if you only played between the blue lines. And rugby is basically hockey if you stopped caring at all and just tried to hit each other with sticks. And I just watched my daughter try to play lacrosse for the first time today, so it was very, very exciting. But that's what we have today, folks, and that is the end of our last call.
I was quiet for your entire time until you tried to put all those together like that. I had so many things I wanted to say, and then you started to try to put all those words together. It's like, it was like a bad math equation.
It was hilarious, and I keep thinking of that because I watch, you know, like, I got convinced to play soccer as a kid because they're like, well, it's just like hockey. And I played it, and I was like, this is nothing like
hockey. Nothing like hockey.
It's nothing.
This is like, way too big of a field.
Everybody plays in the middle. And by the way, I'll say this as kind of an aside, too. Soccer would be more fun if they could change on the fly like hockey. Because then they would.
No, that's exactly it. There's no line changes. After you run 100 yards, then you have to run 100 yards again.
And then they all save themselves because there's only three changes. You're like, if they just had a zone where you ran in and the other guy ran out and you could keep doing that all game long, they would be sprinting the whole game and scoring would go up tenfold. You know, it'd be amazing to watch. And right now, though, they save themselves for the last 10 minutes of each half. And I was like, yeah, soccer is played around the midfield. Hockey is played around the goal.
Goals.
Hockey is just soccer if people were trying to score.
And I do have to tell you, John, that I do appreciate your take on the Pro Bowl. And I think that, they should do something. And I my thought was, when I was watching the game, was maybe this is a little too extreme, but helmets only flag football. Like, literally just put flags on them.
Yeah, or so, just a 7-on-7.
Right. Well, that doesn't – then you can't involve the linemen. I mean,
let them play wide receiver. Who cares? It'd be fun.
Right, exactly.
Tell me that would make it fun.
And the skills competition beforehand, that's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson lit it up in the passing one. Watching Adam Thielen throw a football, dude can huck a ball. He's a legit third string quarterback in the
Devontae,
NFL.
Devontae can throw a football too.
Devontae can throw it. Thielen can throw it for accuracy. Devontae can just throw it 100 miles. Yeah,
you throw forever.
And I'm watching them all. And the final event is they play dodgeball.
Yeah, it's a fun weekend. But the problem is you gotta enjoy it for what it is instead of what you want it to be. And that should be true of a lot of things in life. But anyhow, everybody, that's our show for the week. Thank you for joining us again. Make sure if you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us a review. Please give us a 5-star rating. It helps other people find our show. Please share our show with your friends and family. Let everybody know about us. And again, if you have other things you want us to talk about, please email us, scannyjohnny@gmail.com. You can tweet me, @jbarn54. The show, you can tweet us, at ScottyJohnny1. And as you know now, Aaron will also be on there. We will both be handling the Twitter duties for our account. And, of course, you can find Aaron at Cheddar Talk. So please Cheddar get Talk. In touch with us. Please review us. Continue to listen to us. Share us with all your friends. And from this week to next week, remember again, always, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
We make a great birthday present.